So we're looking now at the team talk, at the team talk. And sat in my cabin on Friday morning, exhausted, I thought to myself, what am I going to say to Huckite Wanderers? So you are Huckite Wanderers this morning. I'd like you to imagine that you are in the team, that you're playing the game. And I want to say some words to you, to us, about what it means to be in God's team and to play the match. See, teamwork is a major part. I've got to watch myself this morning because I feel myself. Maybe I should start over here and then I gradually move forward. But teamwork is a major part of our lives, isn't it? It's kind of to be a functioning, loving family. Everyone needs to play their part in the team. In the workplace, we need to play our part in the team. And likewise, in God's family, in the church family, we need to play our part in the team. Now, we didn't make football the only thing that we looked at this week. However, much of what we referenced was football. And one of the things that I've just started to watch on Amazon is something called All or Nothing. It's a year in the life of Manchester City. And you hear from the perspective of the kit man through to the dietitian all the way up to the head coach, Guardiola. And it's fascinating to see how a football club runs. Everyone playing their part. Everyone has a role to play. And each team has a mission. For the Manchester City, it's to win the Champions League, for instance. And there are tactics, there are roles, there are disappointments as you watch that documentary. When they lose, when the highs of winning and the celebrations. And the mission and what you're about is very easy to listen to in August when you wear your new kits. But in February, when it's raining and snowing, that's when you need to keep in mind what the mission is, what the goal is to win, for instance, the Champions League. Michael Jordan. Okay, when I was growing up, 2 or 3 years ago, everyone wanted to wear trainers. They were called Air Jordan, and they were named after this guy. But this is what he said. He said, talent wins games, but teamwork and influence wins championships. Talent wins games, but teamwork and influence wins championships. Jesus knew that for his mission to be effective, as it were, in the world, he had to share his team plan. He had disciples, 12 disciples who he commissioned, who he spoke to, who he instructed to go out. Listen to these words of Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so this is the mission of the world, the mission of God, rather. To go into the world, to preach, to baptize, to make disciples. And we are reminded that we're never alone. That God's Spirit is always there with us. And so this morning, it's not going to be a 40-minute sermon. Eyes light up over this side of the room. But just briefly, I want to answer this question. How can we be a good team and be good team players in the mission of God? How can we be good team players in the mission of God? And this morning, if you are not in the team, if you're not a follower of Jesus, can I suggest that you listen into the team talk, because there may be some things that actually are applicable to you too. The first thing I'd like to say, by the way, this is our key verse this morning, two verses that we sang, verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So the first thing I'd like us to look at this morning and to say is to be in God's team, to be a part of the game, you need to know yourself. Tim Keller, who has been referenced quite a lot in the last few months as Paul's gone through various proverbs, says the following: you can believe in God and yet trust in someone or something else. You can believe in God and yet trust in someone or something else. It's a little bit like the footballer who scores a goal and then crosses himself or does the hand gesture of a prayer. In one sense, they're acknowledging God, but for the rest of their life, they're living for themselves and for the trappings that they get from being a football player. So you can believe in God and yet trust in someone or something else. If we get distracted, it will, of course, affect our performance in the match. If we get distracted, it will affect our performance. We will not be the player that God wants us to be in the match. In a sports team, often, it's only when things go wrong in a game that tough questions are asked. So, for instance, at the moment, Keith referenced West Ham. All the pundits are having a field day as they're asking the big questions: have they got the team? Have they got the money? Have they got the structure? Is it the right manager? When things are going well, no tough questions often are asked. But when things are going hard and tough in a match and the players are under scrutiny, when they discover that they're not performing maybe as they should. And that's the same for us in God's game. When things go wrong, often it's because we're not listening to God and we're not following what God says. We'll come into that in a moment. But can I say as well, knowing yourself means that actually all of us have an instinct not to follow God. All of us have an instinct actually to follow other things. Other things that in themselves are not wrong. The Bible calls these things idols. And when we follow these idols, these things which are good, but when they become the great, then we have big problems. So, for instance, let me just go through some good things that all of us enjoy. Work. Many of us have the gift of being able to work. Family. Many of us have a family. And a hobby. All good things. All good things. But when they become everything, we will not perform on the field, on the mission field, whatever that mission field is, as God wants us to. And let me just put it this way as well. When these good things, these idols, that these things that can become idols suffer, for instance, when we don't get the promotion that we think we deserve, or our children aren't behaving as they should, and they're rude, and the body doesn't work on the tennis court or the squash court as you think it should, then, in the words of Tim Keller, when our idols don't work as we think they should, we will inordinately be shaken, be anxious, angry, or despondent. Because these things which are good have become the most important thing, and we take our eyes off the game plan. So we need to know ourselves, that all of us have that tendency to think of ourselves, to think of those things that we enjoy, but those things that we enjoy actually become the greatest thing. So let's just think for a moment. If you want to be the player God wants you to be in his mission, you need to know yourself and the traps that many of us can fall into. There's nothing wrong with many of these things that we have, but when they become the main thing, then it will affect our performance, will affect us when we are on the mission field. But secondly, this morning, we need to listen to the captain. The captain, which we've referenced to already, is the Lord Jesus. We need to listen to Jesus. See, all of us are listening to someone or something all the time. It reminds me of the boy in the class when I was teaching RE who said, "Sir, I'm not religious. I'm not religious," he said. He said, "I'm an atheist. I'm an atheist. I'm not religious. What's the point?" When in fact, that statement, "I'm an atheist," is a belief system in itself. And that belief system, he would have had to have taken note of what was said in the world, those areas where he was getting his input. And therefore, we are all listening to someone or something. And so this morning, team of Hookite Wanderers, I encourage you to listen to Jesus. Listen to his word. Jesus, you see, is beautiful. Jesus is there in Genesis, and he's there till Revelation. In the words of a children's author, every page whispers his name, even in those tricky parts that we think are hard to comprehend. Every word whispers his name. And so we need to listen to the Lord Jesus. Listen to how he wants to restore people. He wants to bring people into the team. He wants people to know him. He wants people to follow him. On Monday, we had our planning meeting, our last-minute planning meeting. And I think it was Jackie, someone said, told me this story. And this was the story. There was a room full of children in a classroom. And the teacher wrote the letters J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. And the lad at the back said, "Miss, why have you put a swear word on the board? Why have you put a swear word on the board? Jesus." See, for many people, for the majority of people who live in Hook, who live in Chessington, who live in Surbiton, who live in your neighborhood, who work in your workplace, Jesus, at best, is a swear word. So we need to listen to the captain, and that Jesus has some profound things, some amazing things, not just to say to you in your quiet time, but to say to everyone and those people on your front line. See, the Bible is all about Jesus. So we need to listen to Jesus. So to be the best player we can be on God's mission, we need to know ourselves. We need to listen to Captain Jesus. And lastly, we need to know the team plan. We need to know the team plan. See, any successful football, rugby, cricket, whatever team you follow, they have a plan. You call it a strategy. Matt referenced this, a tactical board. His tactics didn't change during the week. I don't know if you realize that. I don't think it was the permanent paint, Tipex, whatever, on the board. But there is always tactics. There is always a team plan. Every team has a plan. Ultimately, a team is playing to win. And how that looks is different for Team Jesus. Winning might not look like winning when you're on Jesus' team. Jesus' team, his disciples, argued because they couldn't get their head around what it meant to be on Jesus' team. They had arguments about who is the greatest. They had arguments about the identity of who Jesus should be. They had one view of what it meant to be on Jesus' team and actually Jesus' plan. See, Jesus' view of the game, Jesus' view of the mission field can often be different to our vision. Listen to these words that are on the screen. And this is the memory verse that the children had this week. It's a very familiar words of John 3:16, but it's taken from the International Children's Bible. Partly because I thought that all the children from Hook would know it, so it would be no challenge to them. But these are the words. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. God gave his son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost but have eternal life. Put simply, this is our game plan. This is the team plan. We can get distracted in all kinds of ways, even as we are on the mission field. But Jesus' game plan for you and for me is to get that message out. It's to get that message out so that no one, in old school language, should perish. So that no one should be lost. That the game plan is that everyone has the opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear the good news of Jesus. And you know what? He has chosen you, if you're on his team, to get on that mission field wherever he's placed you. That is the challenge, and yet that is the profound mystery of why he's chosen me and why he's chosen you on that. So that's the mission plan. Another thing that you get in a sports club, is in a sports stadium, if you watch it on Sky or BBC, is at the end of the game, you have, I think they call it a spy cam. And the spy cam goes into the dressing room and you see the players celebrating, often if they've won, or you see them with their head held low as the manager tells them what went wrong. This morning, we are still in the game. We are still playing the game. I think we're still alive. I think we're still breathing. See, if we're breathing, we are still playing the game. But when that heart stops, it's the end of time for us. There's no extra time in one sense. If we follow Jesus, there will be extra time. It's called eternity. But when the captain asks us about how we were with his commission, with what the team was about, I wonder what he'll say to you. I wonder what he'll say to you at the end when the whistle's blown. Are you in the team for a start? Are you a part of Jesus' team? And if you are a part of Jesus' team, are you following Jesus? We will be distracted. There are all kinds of distractions as we're on the mission team. Some of those things I outlined this morning, some of those idols, those things which are good that become great. But are we focused about the mission? Are we living for Jesus? Are we listening to the captain? And are we going through as we play that game together? Much to be said. You've all listened very well, SOS especially, and it's a wonderful game to be a part of. But there are questions to be asked as we're in the game and our game plan. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have chosen us to be a part of your team, that you love us. Father God, we thank you that you haven't left us on our own, that Captain Jesus has saved us. But also, Father, you have given us a commission through the Lord Jesus that we are to go into all the world to make disciples. Forgive us for those times when we're distracted. Forgive us for those times when we think other things are more important than you and the game plan. Father, help us to be good listeners as we listen to Captain Jesus. as we listen to him, as we read his word. And Father, as we think about our life, as we think about that heartbeat, we pray that we would remember that we are in the game, but that heartbeat will stop. And we pray that when we are in that changing room, that Jesus would say, "Good and faithful servant." Amen.